With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce from Elaine Thompson-Herah. 5 world titles.
But look at this, Sydney McLaughlin going to the finish line, stopping the tape and another world record.
And just like that, we're off and running. Running things, actually, Donovan Bailey style. Jason Portwando alongside DB. Glad to have you back for another edition of the show. And ladies first, just the way it should be. More on that in a second. But as always, I'd like to check in and say to you, Wagwan.
I'm good, man. I'm good.
That took a while for you to answer.
Well,
I don't
good.
Know.
I'm glad to be back on my podcast, by the way. So this is also a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but yeah, I mean, it's been... You know, the weather is changing here in Toronto but there's still clearly a lot of things that we got to hit on today. But yeah, it's good. It's good to be back. Good to see you. I think fall is in the air is all I got to say.
It is. We will talk a lot of lady content, which is never a bad thing, right? I'm
always
all for that, right? We're talking always track. We're talking boxing. We'll squeeze in a little footy for the ladies as well, the World Cup not that far away. We'll talk some Blue Jays. You and I kind of jokingly said, will they have one win by the time we talk the next time? And the answer is no.
Do you remember your bet?
No.
Okay.
I'm a man of immediacy.
Right. Yes, I just wanted to remind you of your bet. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. There's no recollection of that.
That's all right. So, there's video and audio.
Well, the good thing is, yes, if you have missed any edition of this program, first of all, you better have a really good reason. Second of all, just look us up on whatever your podcast provider is, and you can find every edition of this program. That is the beauty of it. Just go back and listen to it as many times as you want. It's as easy as that.
Share it with your friends.
Of course.
Tell everybody.
Like, follow, share, subscribe, all of those good things. We played the clip off the top, DB. Let's get to it. It's a decision that's going to be a very, 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 very tough one.
Right.
2022 World Athletes of the Year. They have been announced. And these ladies, my goodness, there are no wrong answers. Ultimately, we need one answer, and
right.
You get a vote, don't you?
I'm very biased. Yes, I mean, first, I probably should ask you, like, who you think. I mean, I think I need to. I probably put you on the hot seat.
You okay?
I'm gonna put myself on the hot seat, but. Okay. Why don't you? Okay. Why don't you go in there?
You're
going first.
You have the specialty. You're the man with all the accolades on the track. I will just quickly say this. The 100 is always the glamour event, whether it's men or women, right?
100%.
Time for that to change. I'm going Sydney McLaughlin. I'm going 400. What she did and what she's going to continue to do is going to be unbelievable. So Sydney McLaughlin has my vote.
God, man.
How's that for a curveball?
That's a huge curveball. I never expected that. So I'm, yeah, so I'm.
And not only the 400, sorry, 400 hurdles, right?
Yeah, she's going to run the quarter. She's going to run the quarter next year. I'm very right. certain that Bobby's going to have her running the quarter. You know what's really funny, and this rarely happens, is that I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to tell you that I'm very biased. One.
Yes.
One, I think that Shelly-Ann should get it, right? I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
There's still so much around the women's 100 meter record that was set by Flojo. There's so much around it, and I think it's unfair for her to be so dominant in an event, and also being an incredible ambassador. I mean, one, she's running extremely well. Let's put that out there.
Yes,
yep. Extremely consistent, and just an incredible ambassador for the sport. I mean, these are things that I take to heart. So. If I had a vote today to say who it would be, then obviously just from being a very biased 100-meter world record holder, Olympic champion, and world champion, I would say Shelly-Ann Fraser, because every single time that she competed in 2022, I was on the edge of my seat and I was watching to find out what the results were, right? However, there are other qualified women. There definitely are.
That's putting it lightly.
Exactly. I mean, and they definitely carried the sport this year. But there's a lot of other qualified women. But yes, I agree with you. I think that the sheer dominance of what Sydney has done this year, the sheer dominance, like, I mean, just destroying the record book. You know, I don't see how it is that they would not give it to her. I mean, I've been wrong before, but I'm just saying to you, as I'm a very biased person. I think Shelly-Ann stands for a lot of things. But Sydney's complete dominance of an event, rewriting the record books. She didn't compete a lot, so we didn't get to see as much as we saw of her that we did of Shelly-Ann. If I'm gonna like put a bet in right this second, then my thought is that Sydney might get it slightly. I mean, there's the 100 meter hurdles was the record was broken, but there's still, you know, some eyebrows being raised about that, although it's been ratified. And there are others. But yeah, for sure, I think that it would be those two ladies.
Oh, man, oh, man. So right now it's a field of 10.
Right.
You got to get it down to the finalists.
Right.
Before we even talk about a winner. So that is tough in itself. I mean, you know, Rojas, when it comes to jumping, she, right. you know, she's the queen.
Yes.
You know, and, you can't forget
dominant.
About her.
And been dominant.
Sharika doing her thing in the two. And making her name felt, you know, presence felt in the one.
You know what they should do? Oh, you know what I think they should have? Is in
multiple winners?
No, but they should have like rookie of the year. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because
okay.
although Sharika yeah. is, well, she's not a veteran yet, but she's or newcomer of the year. Like, whatever. There should be like a rookie award because Sharika Jackson.
Rising star.
There you go. Sharika Jackson would absolutely get that. I don't think that she's going to win athlete of the year,
okay.
but she absolutely is the one that everyone's talking about and the one that can jump in the quarter, jump in the deuce, jump in the 100. And she'll be favored. She'll be one of the favorites no matter what.
These ladies were phenomenal. Phenomenal in and outdoor this past season. Okay, so I kind of feel like I know where you're going in terms of the winner.
Do you?
But who are your top three? Who would be your top three?
Ah, man.
They can't okay. all be just runners. You got to have, a field athlete in this.
No, not necessarily.
No? Okay.
No, not necessarily. I'm just I'm talking about sheer dominance. The sheer, right. Like for me, it has to be sheer dominance. So it's probably still those three. It'd still be those three.
I would go.
Rojas may be third.
That's my third.
Yeah.
Rojas
may be third.
Shelly-Ann.
Yeah.
And obviously Sydney. But my goodness, it's tough. It's very, very tough. But man, it's such a good thing. I mean, obviously you're a huge fan when it comes to track and field.
Right.
And for me, the ladies was where it's at, if that makes proper sense.
I think I understand.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. For me, the ladies were the thing this year. Not disrespecting the guys, But I just didn't get as excited with the guys. I mean, Marcel Jacobs never panned out, injuries, whatever.
Right.
He never, you know what I mean? Right. There was no dominant force.
Yeah, Trayvon Bromell didn't come through.
Yeah, Noah Lyles had a good season
Noah Lyles, I mean, he's
Coleman.
Coleman still got a year to come back. I mean, you know, there was Russ there. Fred Curley did win, but wasn't consistent throughout the season. But then again, you know, for athlete of the year, really, you only need to win one race and really and make it real dominant. So, yeah, you know what? I think that the ladies scared the sport this year. And I mean,
100%.
And I think that, you know, think about every single time the ladies stepped on the track. I mean, you know, the men, there was, I think there might have been some avoidance. Clearly, that would change. And of course, you said Marcel with injuries and other things. But the ladies, they went head-to-head every time. I mean, you saw Sharika, Shelly-Ann, Elaine, Talu, Kumbunji. Like you saw the top ladies in every single competition. And to me, that makes great TV. And certainly for the real track fans, the millions and millions and millions of track fans out there, we know that's the reason why you go to those stadiums and fill those seats because the ladies definitely brought it this year, and you know, and it wasn't just in the 100 either, and 200, oh, 400 for that matter. I mean, yeah, they brought it,
and love the it. Beauty they brought it from tip to tail, from indoor
right
through to outdoor, right through the finale.
Well, indoor,
indoor.
Indoor is a consolation prize. I'm just telling you, Jake.
Indoor sets the stage.
Does it?
For me, it does. For me, it does. Right. I love watching indoor.
Yeah. Well, it's quick.
Yeah, just kind of gets you, you know, hyped up. But
right. Yes.
Sometimes, as a broadcaster, it's our job to bring the hype, to get you pumped up for an event. Sometimes, you know what? The event just sells itself, and we got something coming up this weekend that does exactly this.
I think if you perform like that against me, I'll absolutely wipe the floor with you.
You couldn't wipe my drawers. You hear me? I ain't no punk. I'm not scared of you. That's why I'm here. You didn't come to America. I came here.
Ooh. If that doesn't send chills down your spine, raise the hair on the back of your neck, something's wrong. I mean, these two ladies are going to get it on this weekend. It's the fight that we've all been waiting for, and it's just days away.
Dude, let me tell you something. For those of you who don't know that I'm a boxing fan, well, I don't even know what to say to you.
Give us the particulars. Yes. Give us the particulars.
No, but here's what I'm going to tell you. So this weekend, we've got, you know, we've got Deontay Wilder, who probably had the greatest epic, you know, fight with the current retired Tyson Fury. He's coming back. He's fighting, right? We've got Devin Haney fighting Kambosos in Australia. That's a rematch for their championship that Devin took from him. But
nothing, I mean, tops this.
But nothing, dude, man. This is like, you know,
this
what?
Is redefining.
Eddie, like, you know, Eddie Hearn from Matchroom, you know, is absolutely an incredible CEO and certainly a boxing pioneer, because what he's arranged in the O2 Arena in the UK, I think it's in the O2.
Yeah, it is O2.
Is an all female boxing led by. Ooh. I mean, I'm just saying to you that, first of all, that just sounds crazy right out the gate. It's so fantastic. It's so forward thinking. It's such an incredible trailblazing pioneer move. But listening to that and listening to the press conference with these two women going for the middleweight championship of the world, man, one loss between them. And the one loss came when Savannah Marshall beat Clarissa Shields in the amateurs, and they're still bad blood. Well, I mean, they're boxing, so the bad blood's never really gonna, it's never gonna really change until there's a victory or a loss at the end of it. And I'm telling you, it is phenomenal. The promotion, whether or not they're doing this because they don't like each other, whether they're doing this to sell the fight, I'm saying
they've got me sold.
Well, that's what I mean. Every single person, all of my buddies, I'm talking about boxers, male, strong, heavyweight boxers, guys. I'm talking to like, dude, man, this is going to be so incredible. So I, Jason, I'm getting my popcorn ready.
Oh, sounds like you and I are about to get married.
I don't know about all that.
I, Jason, take you done.
I don't know about all that.
Get your popcorn ready and your pom-poms too.
I'm getting my popcorn ready for this for this Saturday because I think that these two women are going to put on an incredible boxing. And you will see. And for those females out there that are aspiring to be incredible boxers, I say this a lot about Shelly Ann Fraser when I say, look at her. And see how she is. And I tell all sprinters, male and women, male and female, that they should look at her and see what her technical attributes are, how she performs, and certainly how she handles the media after, because I just think that she's an incredible role model. And I'm saying this about these two women that are fighting. They are professional. They are boxers first. They happen to be female, but they are boxers first. And I'm looking forward to an incredible match. I don't know. I think that the fight's going to end up with a decision, personally. But, man, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, don't forget, earlier this year we had that sellout at MSG, right, with Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano.
Right.
That was kind of, just getting us, a little bit excited. The blood's starting to boil.
Right.
Starting to thicken. Now you get to this between Clarissa Shields and Savannah.
Right.
Marshall. Mm-hmm. And you heard Clarissa say, listen, I'm coming to your house.
Right.
I'm coming to your house.
Again.
You didn't come to the United States. I'm coming to your house. Man. Like I said, sometimes we try to sell things. We try to pump up the volume. They say, don't believe the hype.
Right.
No, this time
you
should.
You got to believe the hype in
this
one.
This time you should. Oh, my God.
You got to believe that.
Are you picking a winner?
No, I mean, no, what I'm saying.
There are no losers, in fact, and I don't care who gets the decision.
Well, good for women's boxing.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
I agree.
The fact is that it's a sold out arena. Eddie Hearn also did the fight at MSG, but there were males on that card.
Right. This is all female,
this
as you mentioned.
This is an all female card, dude, and I love it. I think that it's I think it's going to be amazing. Again, here's what's crazy. It's a full boxing night for me, so I'm gonna catch those other fights. I'm definitely gonna figure out how I'm gonna do it. But the one that I'm targeting, mm-hmm. and the one that I definitely want to see is I guess technically the rematch, because Clarissa Shields have basically gone on to be the GOAT, and that's what she calls herself. She's the GOAT. And Savannah obviously hasn't lost either. So I think she knows there's little things that you can always do when you've beaten someone before, when you can sit and you can, have little taps into their mental capabilities. And I think Savannah is tapping into that. And that's really why it's interesting for me. I think that Clarissa is going to win by decision. That's just what I think. But you know what? What I've noticed, especially when I watch female fights, is that you have two people. When the bell goes, sometimes technique is lost, game plan is lost, and it's like I am going out there to kill you.
Oh.
And I think that that's what's gonna happen.
I don't care who wins. All I want is extra innings. Overtime, call it what you want. I just want more
overtime
than what we're supposed to get, because these two ladies, I don't know if they're putting on a show. Maybe they are.
Right.
But the word hate to me is a strong one.
Right.
Not strong enough for these two. Strong enough for these two. So it could just be an all out brawl.
It's all venom. I love it. It's all venom. And it sells the show well. And I don't know either if this is real or not. But my assumption from being in that place, being in that seat when you're competing against someone and there's dislike, we'll say. I think it's real, and I'm looking forward to it, man. And I guess I'll send you a note because you actually haven't picked Jason, what you think.
I just told you, I don't care. All I want
is no
them
overtime.
To go overtime. Just, because we're going to get to it. The scorecards are going to read, you know, we need to keep going. That's exactly what the scorecards are going to read. But no, home court advantage, home field advantage, home ice advantage for me is going to, I think, make the difference here.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you're picking Savannah Marshall?
I think Savannah.
What? I think Savannah. Yeah, oh, I think Savannah. That's $1 million out of your pocket.
Yeah. Well, that's what you're betting?
Yeah, yeah. $1 million. Canadian tire money.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that you're okay.
10 years in the making. We waited a long time for this, and we're going to get that coming up on the weekend. Looking forward to that. Got the Women's World Cup as well. A little footy. Irish supporters just, you know, in a great mood after beating rival Scotland. There's just so much going on. The ladies are bringing it. We love it. From bringing it to not bringing it. You and I talked baseball last week, and we said, you know, when we fast forward to this week's show, will the Blue Jays have won?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the word can be spelled in more ways than one. It can be W-O-N or just O-N-E.
Right.
They so which one is it? Didn't get either. Here's what happened.
Frazier is, and he pulls that one into right field. That's going to be a hit, and it's going to put the Mariners ahead. Raleigh around to score, and to second with a double, 10-9. Mariners have come all the way back, and now they're three outs away from moving on.
Ouch. Ouch. Donovan Bailey running things. Jason Portwando alongside. Yes, you got it, Donovan Bailey. And that was a clip from last week where the Blue Jays absolutely fell apart. An 8-1 lead. I thought it was done. Okay, bring on game three, the decider. It's now down to a best of one. Somebody forgot to tell the Mariners, who fought, clawed, scratched their way back, and I think only the third team ever in baseball postseason history to erase a 7-run deficit. Come out and win.
You know what? I am, as I said to before, I like baseball, but I love playoff baseball.
Oh, you're right.
You know, I know that there's always 1,000 games during the season, so I can go and catch a game anytime. And plus, I got a few good buddies that play baseball or played baseball. But I was very excited when we had a conversation last week when we were talking about the Jays going the postseason, because I'm like, okay, now let's go. I mean, you know, the Jays were favored to win. We had a decent season. And so, you know, going into, like coming out of our last episode and going into the playoffs, I thought, okay, the Jays got this. And I think that you and I talked about this week, we were supposed to, delve into who the next... who the next team was going to be that the Jays are going to take on, leading them at some point to the World Series, sometime this year. But yeah, man, you know the stats, man. I just think that it's crazy that that the Jays fall on the historic debacle. These are not the records that you want to have. This is, you know what I mean?
No.
This is not what it is. And it was really tough to watch because, like you, Jason, I actually thought the game. I mean, I was watching the game a little bit, and then I said, 8-1, I'm done. Oof. It's like, oh, it's over. It's over. We're going to go and let me go find something else to do. Or let me go and watch something else. And then I actually didn't realize, I didn't even know until I saw the score at the end of the game. I'm like, what? I mean, those are not the only words I said, but it started with what? It started with what? Yeah, it was tough to hear because, you know, as a Blue Jays fan, I mean, obviously by right, I'm Canadian and you know, Torontonian. It was tough to watch, and I did not see that coming because I think maybe my expectations were that they were going to go on. And it just goes to show, man, I mean, when you have a team that is very cohesive, a team that will not take a loss, comfortably. When you have a team that, you know, they themselves have a goal together, and they're going to press on. I think that's what the Jays came up against, And unfortunately, the Jays are now golfing and, you know.
Only thing I was right about was the sweep. But right. I didn't expect it to be Toronto.
The broom was the other way.
Yeah.
The broom was in the other hands.
The broom was Brock. Yeah. That's what it was. I mean, that was just not working. And Blue Jays now with five consecutive postseason losses. I don't know how you erase the taste of that.
Right.
Because, wow, next season. Oh, man. I mean, losing is one thing.
Right.
But to lose like that, 2 4-run innings, I mean, they were up 9-5, 9-6 as well.
Yeah.
Or something, whatever it
That's
was.
That's crazy. Do you think that there are going to be any changes next year for the staff?
Well, they've kind of come out and said there wouldn't be. But right. You know what? It's just one of those things. I mean, you watch a little flare in the center field. Bo Bichette's going out and George Springer's coming in. They collide and 3-run score on that play. You know what? It's just.
I saw that.
It wasn't meant to be.
I saw that in my Raiders, the last game they played too.
When Raiders, you know,
yeah. Two guys collided and we lost the game, which was horrible.
Well, why were they going for two when one would have been suffice?
Let's not talk about that either.
Let's not talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Let's flip that.
And you know what it's like with the Blue Jays? You ever watch those old Scooby-Doos where they'd always have, you know, somebody, you know, doing whatever, and at the end they'd reveal who it is?
Right.
Where there are all kinds of memes out there where they take
this.
The mask off the Blue Jay. And it's the Maple Leafs underneath.
Oh, geez. Ouch.
That's pretty good.
So that's what happened.
That's what happened. Yeah, it was the Leafs playing baseball.
So the Leafs playing baseball. Yeah. Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah. No, it's... but yeah, I don't know where they go from here. And obviously now Seattle has moved on and in the thick of things with the Houston Astros. That was a hell of a game one. I mean, that was some theater.
Right.
I mean, Yankees taking on the Guardians. You got the Battle of California there, San Diego and L.A. That's off to a nice start as well. And, you know, Philly's taking game one, surprisingly enough, against the world champions. Love that, world champions. It's a North American league with some players from, I guess, around the world.
Right.
But do you have a winner? I mean, we're down to the final eight.
No.
The elite eight.
No.
Okay, we'll wait till
one more
maybe
round.
Next week. Yeah.
One more round.
Get down to the final
one more
four.
Round, and then I'll have full stats like you do, because then I'll be paying attention to every game.
For some reason, I don't want to say it's destiny because it's too early, but Houston.
Houston?
Toothpick, man.
Are you gonna
Dusty Baker with that damn toothpick in his mouth.
Are you putting your money down on it right now? Because, you know, you're a betting man.
You know, you really got to stop teasing me with this betting thing.
No, you got to.
Because you know it doesn't take me much time. You remember you watch those old Fred Flintstones? Bet, when he used to have the gambling pro.
I don't remember, but yeah, sure, I'm too young.
I'm throwing all the cartoons at you this week.
I'm too young. Too young for Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I know.
And too young for,
I know.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Don't worry.
Scooby-Doo and Flintstones?
Yes. You're around the corner from 40, so don't worry.
Exactly.
You're getting there.
I'm almost there.
It's coming up soon. Anyways, speaking around the corner, that's where this man did some damage on the track when he was sharing the baton, which he calls baton, but I'm not going to tell him that he's saying the word wrong. You know what time it is here on the program. Let's get to it.
A cleaning stage with Donovan Bailey is pouring it on.
Now, you're probably too young to remember this song too, right?
No, I was a club kid, man. I was absolutely a club kid. So I was in a Twilight Zone and Still Life and, you know, Phoenix Club and, you know, Copa.
Was that open when you were that age?
No, I was very young.
I was going to say.
Fake ID. I was 10, so I had to wear a hoodie.
No, kids, we are not condoning fake ID. He's just saying, you know, we just got a bit of a mix-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all it is.
That's all.
So we like to run you through a few topics before we wrap the show, and some serious, some not so serious. This obviously being serious, and my goodness, jurors ordering conspiracy theorist Alex Jones to pay nearly $1 billion to Sandy Hook Elementary School, the shooting victim's relatives, and an FBI agent who he said turned their loss and trauma into years of torment by promoting the fact that the rampage was a hoax.
Oh, man. Well, how do I respond to that? I think that, one, I think it's great on them. I think it should have been $10 billion. I think that here's the issue.
How do you pay $965 million?
Well, he's got a pretty big audience, and he certainly has a bunch of programs that are generating income. But here's the bottom line for me, Jason. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, anytime you're blessed with a platform, right, that you're influencing the public, you have to take responsibility for the things that you say, especially in a situation like this. I think that the verdict was great. This is not even a political thing for me. I'm just saying to you that you have to take responsibility with the things that you do and the things that you say, because if you have an incredible audience and you're that influential, then you can, you know, promote something that will cause damage to other people. And if you cause damage to other people, you have to pay for it.
All right. Not comparing the two, but also causing damage. An article recently written by Steve Simmons, and obviously this being a Toronto-based show, we're talking about the Toronto Sun newspaper. Recently, just going to give you the kind of the Coles Notes version of the story involving some NHL players who are black. Wayne Simmons being one, Akeem Alou being the other. And in the article, he's saying, you know, you can't compare the two. I guess Akeem Alou was, having some statements, made some, you know, references to various things. And he said, well, how can you even, you know, compare the two? Because Wayne Simmons has been a bona fide NHL player. Akeem Alou has played for like a bunch of different teams throughout his 20-odd year career. And it definitely raised the eyebrows of many, both the current and former players.
Well, okay, I know Steve, and I've spoken to Steve many, many times. I'm on the side of Akeem and Wayne, and I'm just going to say this. Steve's written bad articles about me, and he's probably written some good articles about me, and I have the ability to also call him and talk to him. So I'm going to say this to Steve. You're in a position where you have a pen. You're in a position where you could do good, and you could be influential with the articles that you write. You're in no position whatsoever to criticize an athlete's journey. You're in no position to talk about, especially a black kid who's had to deal with hockey his entire life and you know, some of the racist, systematic, institutional, every kind of racism that this kid could get. So he has absolutely no right to criticize Akeem, has no right to criticize Wayne or to bring Wayne in on the conversation. I mean, ultimately, it's 2022 and there are a lot of people out there, and I've said this for 25 years. Your job today, if you do not know someone's story or someone's journey, is to shut up and listen. And ultimately, you know, that's what I'm saying to Steve. I mean, at the end of the day, it would have been great for him, writing that article and criticizing these guys, it would have been better to actually have a conversation with them about their journey. And certainly you can always talk about an athlete and their athleticism. But if Akeem speaks a lot about his journey and dealing with racism, and nobody has the right to go in there and criticize that.
Akeem, by the way, part of the NHL's diversity team, and was, you know, giving his opinions on what's wrong with hockey. And Simmons replied basically like he would know, and then went on to talk about Alou playing for 23 teams in 9 seasons, 9 different leagues, I should say, in 12 professional seasons, and then went on to compare it to Wayne Simmons has talked about. All right, let's move on. We're going to talk more sports. Let's talk a little basketball. Never to get your take on the slap heard around the world. Teammates Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, we all know the story by now. If you don't, then you probably don't care. It's been out there everywhere. Up until this point, I don't think Draymond's actually been suspended by the team. If I'm...
Yeah, he's not suspended.
Okay. All right. What was your take on it?
I think he left for personal reasons. Well, here's the thing that I love about the team. So let me qualify... First, what I love about the Golden State Warriors is that they are the best basketball team in the world. They are the reigning world champions. And I love the tension that is at practice. I love the fact that this team is still driven. I love the fact that they are probably thinking about how it is that they're going to, you know, mesh together as a team to win the championships next year. However, as teammates, I think that there's always going to be tension. I mean, you know, I know that the relay is not necessarily a team sport, but there's always tension. I mean, mind you, from that, it was because I think everyone ran the 100 meters, and that seems to be, the place where all egos land. At no point do you need to put your hands on somebody. I think words can go a long way. Words can go a long way. And I think chirping is also a part of it's a part of the game. You know, Draymond was probably wrong for putting his hands on Jordan, but
something had to have perpetrated it.
Right. I mean, I don't know.
You don't just go up there and cuff somebody like that for no reason.
Right. I don't know what happened. But I tell you this, Draymond is the vet who's unafraid of anybody.
Play for my team any day.
Right?
Any day.
You're welcome to the Raptors, man. I'll call Masai myself.
We need some thuggery.
Absolutely. We just need some people that take ball seriously and guard the rim like that. And Jordan Poole, you know what? Played amazing last year. Probably would be if he was a free agent, he's probably be one of the best and most sought after free agent on the market. So I can see how tensions would arise. But I mean, so there's no need for the slap, but I'm letting you know that I love tension and I love that sort of drive and cohesiveness that this team wants to have going into the new NBA season, which is coming up, I guess, in the next few days.
Tuesday months. We start, yeah?
Exactly.
Tuesday, and of course, you would expect, slap or no slap, that Golden State be one of the favorites to win it all.
100%. And all right. Draymond will be in the starting lineup. And maybe that's maybe Jordan got a slap as a, or a punch, whatever it is, or a shove, is as an indication to the rest of the team that Golden State's not resting on their laurels and they want to come back and be reigning champion again.
Unlike the other slap, this one was real. Anyways, let's just move on. We're not going to go there. Let's just end it right
nothing.
There.
I know nothing.
One word answer, yes or no?
Oh, geez.
Raptors make the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, that's a double yes.
My God. Yes, yes.
They better.
Mais oui, qu'est-ce que tu penses?
Right. They better.
Et bien sûr. All right. That's it for this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. As per always, we thank you for the company. We ask that you please like, share, subscribe, follow. Do what you need to do to be a part of this podcast. There are a bunch of providers everywhere, so you have no excuse regardless of where you're listening in from. By the way, you can also tweet us and let us know where you're listening in from. And
absolutely.
We can give you some shout-outs, and you get the final shout-out as always.
Well, you know what? It's been awesome. Good seeing you, man. I mean, definitely there's some amazing topics. I look forward to being here and being with you next week. Until next time, stay safe and see you next week. Peace out.